This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Working Class Bowhunter Podcast. It is episode 619.
Getting up there, boys.
Kurt Geyer speaking from the studio.
Eric Hammond from the studio.
Doug Schmidt in the studio.
Ross Bigger here.
Lee Herr, also in the studio.
Present.
Yeah, we're doing the intro here in the studio. This was recorded at the ATA show. Nate, Average Jack, Archery, Huntworth, he's representing many angles here on this episode. But we talked Huntworth, how he got involved in and a whole lot of other stuff. Good dude. Another guest we want to get here in the studio.
Absolutely. Pretty good buck story, too, on this one.
Yeah, yeah. Nate's the man.
He is
you
the
can
man.
Tell he knows... He'd be a cool dude to go to and have him tune up your bow and set you up and all that. So really good guy. I really enjoyed this episode. We were long-winded, now doing two episodes a week. We're trying to give you a bullshit session through our ads, and then sometimes we get right to business. Obviously, we don't need to plug Huntworth on this because it's very Huntworth-focused. And then some. But the podcast is brought to you by Elite Archery, Big Time, Huntworth, of course, Old Barn Taxidermy, Trophy Line, Grizzly Hunting Blinds and Coolers, Blackgate Trail Cameras, Black Ovis, Novix Tree Stands, Mountain Ops, Deercast, Loophole, Victory Archery. Listen to episode 615. Dialed Archery. Shit, that was what, 608, 9 in there somewhere. Scott was back on. And then Slick Trick Broadheads. So, by the way, they're launching new heads like left and right at
this time. New heads, new release. Yep. They're going to be
I think we're going to need some of those.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited for that. And Scott Archery just dropped a bunch of releases, which is underneath the outdoor group. Like, they did an upgrade on my Hex, my beautiful Hex release.
I know, I seen that. I'm like,
I got to get digging in on that some bit.
You better check it out.
Do you got a veteran shout-out, Doug?
I do.
No kidding.
This one, he submitted it, and he's the veteran. James Teets, that's what it says. Hell, I want to make sure I get that right so it doesn't sound weird. But he's in the Army. Says, hey, guys, I'm an avid bow hunter. Been a lot of years in between my time in the Army and getting back in the woods, but hopefully this season I can get out there and hunt. Only bow hunted after military. Guns are not for me anymore. So thank you for spending that, James, and thank you for your service, brother.
Yeah, thanks for your
service, man.
Appreciate you, buddy. Cheers to James.
Hey, cheers. Cheers. Shoot your bow, cheers. Brother.
Cool. Quick intro for you guys. We just wanted to get to this one after, you know.
What the hell?
Alternate. Ross doesn't have a drink. What the fuck?
What are you doing, Ross?
All right, we're getting to the episode. Hope you enjoy this one. We'll catch you on the other side.
I'm Chase Rolson with Rubline Marketing.
This is Jeff Lindsay.
This is Michael Pitt.
Hey, everybody, it's John Dudley from Knock On TV.
Hey, guys, this is Jared Scheffler from Whitetail Adrenaline.
Hi, I'm Taylor Drury from Drury Outdoors.
Hey, this is Nick Munt from Bone Collector.
Hey, this is Melissa Bachman.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter Podcast.
Working Class Bow Hunter Podcast.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
You're listening to the Working Class Bow Hunter. That's right. This is a podcast for Billy Joe Lunchbucket, the working man, just like me and you. My name's Travis T. Bone Turner from The Bone Collector. Thank you for tuning in.
Nobody pushes the envelope like Working Class Bow Hunter.
It's really, really not that good.
Working Class Bow Hunter Podcast. We're at the 2024 ATA show in St. Louis, Missouri.
That's
good,
right?
Old St. Louis. And Kurt's here.
Eric.
Doug.
And Mr. Nate Sellers from Huntworth joining us. What's up, dude?
Not much, man. I'm so glad. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it. Yeah. It's nice to be like in a like a legit podcast situation. Usually I'm like some like dark Zoom. Like I'm in the the Bat Cave, you know, doing a Zoom podcast or something.
It's not the same that way. It's nice to be like face to face.
No, it is. This is super nice.
And plus, like every time we talk, we're just on the phone. But which is great.
Which is fine.
But this is good.
This is nice.
It's better than doing a call-in podcast when everybody's here at the show.
Oh yeah. Oh my gosh. That was
get together.
Yeah.
Dude. Who the hell are you, man? You're like, this is your introductory to the WCB community.
Yeah, to like the whole community. Yeah, so I'm the marketing media manager-ish for Huntworth Camo out of Pittsburgh there, which you guys have a long-standing relationship with. We're
big
so happy.
Fans. Yeah, fans.
We love having you guys part of the crew. I love talking to you guys. Love seeing what you guys do on socials. You know, you guys take our stuff everywhere.
Yeah.
Everywhere. Killing all sorts of animals, cool animals.
We try.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, you guys, you're sticking stuff.
Yeah,
sticking stuff. I haven't caught up on... What was the buck that you named? It was the most recent.
Floppy.
Yeah, I haven't caught up on that one yet, but I'm excited to listen to that. So, yeah, so I mean, so I work with Huntworth Camo there out of Pittsburgh. You know, everything from photography and YouTube stuff to doing stuff like you guys, management of things, you know, analytics and data behind the back end, product development testing. So I wear about 100 different hats, but yeah, that's what I do. And
so how did you find Huntworth? Like, did you work? Like, kind of get that. Like, how did you become an employee? Did you just apply? Did they approach you?
Like- yeah, I mean, so just like you guys, you know, I was working with them. You know, I was just a freelance guy on YouTube. I was doing media for them.
Trying to get you to plug that is what I'm.
Yeah, doing. Yeah, I know. Yeah. So I run a YouTube channel, Average Jack Archery, and also it correlates to my bow shop in Central PA. So Average Jack Archery Pro Shop and Range, 1,600 square foot retail and space, and a 1,600 square foot range. But I've been doing my own freelance media and stuff for 10 years on YouTube. So I've covered the ATA show. I've covered the SHOT show. I've covered, everything from manufacturers, done my own how-to and tutorials and stuff. And so I was picked up by Huntworth, I think 3 years ago, right around COVID. And, they sent me some gear, like, try this out. You're in Pennsylvania. We're in Pennsylvania. Let's see how it works. And I freaking loved it. I pulled that shit out of the box and I was like, this is amazing. I never even heard of them before.
Yes.
And so I tried on their stuff. I was like, this is fantastic. And so we had a real good relationship and I actually went down a couple of times and like looked at some of their new stuff, like the Grayling hoodie and the Elkins bibs. I did some prototype, the heat boost stuff, did prototypes for that. And so then they came to my shop actually and they're like, hey, you know, we'd love to put some Huntworth in the shop. I was like, cool, let's do that. And they're like, hey, also, if you so happen to know somebody who's good at writing in front of a camera, works with camouflage, and can manage people, we have a job that we need to fill for them. And I'm like standing behind the counter, like my hand up, like this, like, fuck, can I do that?
I'm right here.
Yeah. And I was like,
I can do that.
I was like, I can do that. And they're like, well, you're not going to move to Pittsburgh. I said, do I need to move to Pittsburgh? Like, I don't know. I think we can try it remotely. I tried it remotely for 1 week. They're like, this is the best decision.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, awesome.
Best decision. And Neil and Karen, the owners, are just phenomenal people.
Freaking
hilarious.
Nice.
Yeah. They couldn't be two different people if they tried.
I know.
They're just, but they work so well together. What they've done, they've been doing this.
Dude, they're hustlers.
Yeah. Dude, every single bout them, there is not a, like, I could pick up my phone and call Neil at 4 o'clock in the morning and he'd be on it.
Uh-huh.
He'd be on it. He'd respond. Karen's the exact same way. They're just great people.
Yeah.
And so I'm absolutely loving my job.
I bet, man. That's awesome.
Yeah. So for anybody, I was a middle school English teacher for a decade. So
oh, no kidding.
So yeah, so that was my job in the past. So now instead of managing 10-year-olds, I just manage grown-ups who are 10-year-olds. It's really all I did.
That was a diss, I feel like.
Yeah.
I think we're more appreciative.
You should be offended.
It's all right.
Yeah. So
Not the worst thing people have said about us.
No, I mean, it could have been way worse. Yeah. It could have been way worse. You know, I could have come from like the criminal justice system or something like that.
Ooh.
You know,
ooh,
you
know. Yeah. Hey, still working with still them. Still working. Going in for felons.
Yeah. That's
right.
Yeah.
Can't wait to hide them tats.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, now you are at a job you can cuss.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, yeah, I can't go. Reason, yeah, because yeah, Average Jack Arch is still a family friendly channel, you know. But but
on WCB, you cuss.
Yeah, we can get, yeah, what the fuck, you know. It's fine.
This guy's
good. Cut it out. It's fine.
This guy's good.
But yeah, no, I mean, it really is. It's been so cool. That's awesome. This is, you know, when I was a teacher and I was like, you know, I just don't know if I could do this forever. My dad, I'll never forget, my dad looked at me and said, Nate, I don't think you're going to do that forever. I think one day you will find yourself in the hunting industry. And I was like, there's no freaking way, man.
Yeah.
There's no, and here I sit. Like, well, this is a dream come true. Yeah.
I think, you know, like, guys who have a passion like you and you put in work, you find your space eventually. Some guys, I think, struggle to find it, mm-hmm. but with some hustle in the right areas, you fall into where you need to be.
Yeah. I mean, that's really what it is. People, you know, I have this conversation all the time, like, oh, it must be nice. I was like, you know, you're doing, and I'm like, freaking understood the amount of time and effort that Working Class puts in, that the Victory Drive puts in, that everybody puts into their social realm. How much money and time and energy and time away from our wife and kids and everything else we put in to grow that. It's not, this didn't just fall into her lap.
Right.
We pushed to make this happen.
Well, a lot of people just see us for an hour or listen to us for an hour a week and they think, oh, that's all you do. You just go record and that's it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, you see it with the guys that come in with like a YouTube channel or a podcast and then all of a sudden they're gone. And I think a lot, either those guys never took it seriously or wanted to try and make something out of it, or they started to and they're like, this is so much.
Right.
And then they don't have the just family situation, the job situation, whatever to pursue it further, you know, but let's transition into some Huntworth stuff. I want to get from inside the Huntworth family, fit your personal favorite pattern and why.
Oh boy.
And I don't know if this is going to stir some stuff up for you internally.
Internally?
You'd get fired?
But good.
Listen, listen, I will make no bones about it. And I think you and I have the same sentiment, but the disruption pattern in me, the disruption pattern that I'm wearing, I get along with it very, very well.
You look good in it.
Thank you. I appreciate that. It matches my eyes.
The
disruption.
It's the only reason I wear it.
The very first piece of garment I ever got was the Holton, which is the heavyweight set in disruption. I pulled that thing out of the box, and I'm not a digital guy. You know, I've worn some, you know, I've worn it in the past.
He said it
out loud.
We'll edit that out.
And I've worn it in the past, and I never liked the pattern. I liked how the garments worked, but, you know, I never liked the pattern. And then I pulled that disruption out of the box, and I was like, I don't know why, but I told my wife, I was like, do I like digital pattern? She goes, no, you hate digital pattern. I said, but why do I like this so much?
Yeah, yeah.
And I wore it. I wore Tarnan, and almost 9 times out of 10, I go back to disruption.
See, I was.
I don't know why.
I love the question because everyone has their preference, and it's just whatever it is to you that you feel, I don't know, that you just like. But I love the pattern.
Yeah,
but
it's not because I feel like I can't wear Tarnan. Like that's the thing. Like we say that all the time is like our patterns were coast to coast, continent to continent. And we have people that have taken it. You've got to take it. Africa and Scotland and New Zealand and and Iowa and Pennsylvania. It doesn't matter. It works coast to coast. Just pick your preference. Yeah. I don't know. Disruption just seems to be the one for me.
What seems to be, from your perspective, when you talk to people, and you know, I'm kind of keeping the listener in mind. It's like, oh, I'm going to look into some Huntworth stuff. Like, what is the preferred pattern by most customers from what you see?
It's really 50-50.
Really?
And sales reflect that. Like, when I go and look, like, you know, we'll say, oh, you know, we think Tarnan sells more. Okay, well, I'll punch in. I'll go into the cheats. I'll go in. Like,
that would have been my guess.
I'll be like, well, actually, it's like a 51-49 split.
Wow.
It's really, you know, I thought it'd be like 70-30, you know, because Tarnan's the newer pattern. And we've had disruption, I think, for 6 going on 7 years. And Tarnan was, you know, 2018, maybe somewhere in that flavor. Mm-hmm. But even still, even with Tarnan being even bigger in a retail space, it's still online, at least our online sales, it's about a 60-40 split at the most.
Wow.
With Tarnan being the favorite.
I would not have expected. Are those the two leaders?
Oh yeah, by far.
Even over Hidden?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Hidden's a great pattern. It was our, you know, original ligand, you know, twig and leaf pattern. But we're starting to phase it out because it's not what people are demanding anymore. You know, people don't just want a photograph on clothing. Mm-hmm. They want it to actually do something. They want that depth perception to come out in the pattern, not in the picture.
We were talking about it in one of our like intros the other day, and we were talking like Hidden is really good. I mean, it's a great pattern, but when I think Hidden, I want to wear it on like day-to-day casual wear.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
I don't know how to.
Yeah, you know, you look at Hidden, which is a great pattern. We've had it for forever. It's over a decade, and you look at it, and you're like, that would look really good in a hoodie.
Yeah, like the that one with the and the sleeves are in hidden, right?
Yep.
You never look at that and think, I want to wear that head to toe.
Yeah, I mean, it's classic. It was a necessary pattern for hunt work.
Sure.
Like you have to have, what do you call it, twig and leaf?
Yeah, you had to have the twig and leaf pattern.
That's the perfect way to put it. Yeah, it's like.
It's what people are, wanted.
That's the standard. That's what most people grew up with. I feel like at the time, because you guys have had that pattern the longest.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, by far.
That makes sense.
Yep.
You know? But, dude, I mean, if you would have launched something like Tarnin in 10, 15 years ago, do you think it would be perceived the same?
I really don't. I mean, if you think about it, like 15 years ago, it's like 2008, 2009, Realtree and that type. I mean, that was still that, again, that twig and leaf idea. And leaf, you couldn't have gotten away with that. At that point, there were some other players starting to make different types of patterns. And at that point, they were breaking new ground.
Especially just like, we have listeners all over. We're talking whitetail world.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it was for the longest time, you were raised like a Mossy Oak kid or a Realtree kid. And to see now from then to where we're at now, where it's not that anymore.
No.
Like you go to a store and you see guys wearing Tarnin on a hoodie, or they're wearing their Heat Boost jacket out and about. Like, and every time I see somebody rocking Huntworth, I'm always like, I wonder if I know him.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Every single time.
He's our people. Let's go talk to him.
No idea who that guy is.
No idea.
But, we're in.
Give him the farmer wave.
We're in like 35 stores across the country. Yeah. Like, I probably know that guy.
Yeah, every farm store, I'm like, hey, dude, Huntworth. And he's just like,
who's this guy?
Leave me alone.
He's got tattoos. Yeah. What's his deal?
Leave me alone. Yeah, with my kids. Yeah. Get away from me. I was like, sorry, But like, I find myself doing that. I'm like, Huntworth, nice.
So I like your shirt. He's like, hey, just take it. Leave me alone.
That's hilarious.
I haven't bought it yet.
Yeah, sure. He's just still looking on the rack.
Okay, so now we got the pattern conversation out of the way. I want to, all right, day to day. Every hunt, what goes with you on every hunt?
From a clothing perspective?
Yeah, from a clothing perspective.
That new Grayling hoodie, man.
Yeah.
That new Grayling hoodie, if it's cool enough for it, which in Pennsylvania, it gets cool pretty quick, and particularly in the mountains where I'm at. But that new Heat Boost Grayling hoodie, like I'll wear that in a vest now from like second week of October to like the third week of November, and that's it.
The vest is the move, man.
It is. You got to have the vest.
It's the best vest. Like... We're going to start a 1%er vest club we've been talking about. Like, okay.
We're going to invest.
Yeah.
Or not invest.
There's so many puns. We could go on. We could keep going. But I think, the hoodie is, that's been our top pick since.
But he's right. The hoodie with the vest is.
The hoodie, the vest, and Durham pants, man. Like, you give me those, I'll find a way to make it work.
Oh, yeah.
It could be 10 degree. I will find a way for that clothing work.
But you can now get in solids.
Yeah, which you can. Yeah, you can get those Durham pants. Oh yeah, those are my casual wear.
Yeah, I
wear those
right in the now. Shop. Are you wearing them? Yeah,
yeah. I have them packed to the hotel. I mean, like I'm going to wear them eventually.
Yeah,
like those things get worn in the shop. I mean, those are scouting, turkey season, fishing, early archery. It doesn't matter. I wear those things everywhere.
Do the solids do well? I mean, because Huntworth's probably strongest customer base is whitetail guys.
Yeah,
guys and gals. How do the solids do in the whitetail world for the pants?
A bunch. Yeah. It's actually, it's less common once the leaves get off the tree, but in that early season, most guys don't care about pattern as much because everything's just so damn green. They're just like, I just want something comfortable. And a lot of them just buy either the green or the brown Durham pants.
Yes. We rocked in Africa. We rocked the solid pants the whole time.
Like, which is a very comfortable pant.
Well, the brown ones are good and it just worked.
I've killed multiple does with them. The brown ones, just because it's so early,
universal.
They're comfortable. You can wear them to the stand. You're not sweating your ass off. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if you were to like tell a new potential Huntworth customer and they wanted to get into some garments, what would you be like? All right, start with this, this, and this, and here's why.
If you're in the northern part of the country and you're going to experience colder weather, I would say, because in the early season, even though how great the garments are, people can get away. If you're in like Tennessee, Kentucky, you can wear a t-shirt to like almost November, it seems like. I'm in Pennsylvania where we can get snow in the first week of October, in the mountains where I'm at. So for me, it's actually, if you're going to like have a garment that'll last you a while, particularly if you live in a cold enough environment, it's the Saskatoon stuff. So that's the vest, that's the Saskatoon jacket, the Saskatoon pants. So you've got a lot of wear areas to vent. You can stay warm, but it's got Heat Boost in it, so it's not super bulky. So that'll last you through any firearm season in the country. That'll go through most of your rut time if you live in the northern half of the country. So that's a real good option. And then, like I said, the Durham pants or any, The Sheldon hoodie, which is the non-heat boost, or the Grayling hoodie, which has the heat boost, they have the integrated face mask.
Yeah. Yep.
They're just built super well. You can wear them as an overlayer, an underlayer. Yeah, our hoodies are one of the best-selling things we have for very good.
That reasons. Integrated face mask that is Sheldon hoodie is so amazing.
That was like the one of the money. First.
Whoever designed that.
I know, yeah. Give that person a raise.
Yeah.
I need to buy him a beer.
I wonder if he's around. But anyway, or she, he or she. But I know that hoodie, the Sheldon hoodie, was probably the first thing. One of the first things.
Turkey hunting.
I wear it every hunt.
Every hunt, yeah. I wear it.
It's like, it was the first garment I wore out. Yeah. Like it was the first garment that I like one day lifted my arm and I was like, there's a hole in my, and there's a hole in the sleeve. Mm-hmm. That's the first one. And then yeah. I thought about it. Well, I've worn it about, I don't know, 8,000 times. Right, that's fine, right. You know?
Dude, literally, I'm not kidding. From when we started working with you guys, 2021, I have worn that on every single hunt. If I don't have it on, it was hot.
Yep.
Yeah. I've worn it on every hunt until when I killed Floppy. It's literally, I wear it every, no matter what, yeah. I'm wearing it.
It always goes like the unders and then throw in Shelly and hoodie and then whatever after that to keep
yeah.
warm.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's so nice though, because I forget my face mask every time, but I'm like, right oh there. Wait, I got one.
Yeah, it's right there.
Oh, yeah. Wait.
I stopped wearing face masks for the exact reason.
I would forget mine every time, especially in like when it's like, you got those mornings where it's real cold, but then it warms up in the afternoon, because then you're like, I can see warm in the morning, but then I can just flip it back.
Yeah, flip it off or just wear it around the neck for a little bit. Whatever you want to do with it. Yeah, it's so versatile. Sweet.
Turkey hunting on the ground, that's oof. Saves your ass.
I'm just so hidden.
Ooh, just is that a pun?
Grab them.
Is that a pun?
I don't know. Maybe.
Doug over here. Doug's an engineer, you know that?
No, I didn't know that. So he's smarter than all of us? Or
yeah.
I try to be.
All right, it's the stat.
I act like it.
I have mad respect for the stash, by the way, because I cannot grow one. So yeah, it's like, I mad respect.
It looks good in Huntworth.
Yeah, it so does.
People tell me all that.
And like, and all the pink bows that you shoot stuff with.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, that too.
Yeah. Not pink, but.
No, yeah. They're what color is this year?
Blue.
Blue this year.
Well, teal this year.
Yeah,
teal.
Yeah.
You pull it off somehow. Well, dude, let's talk about your season a little bit. I don't want to make the whole thing a commercial.
Yeah, I know.
I mean,
but it's the job, right? I tell that to people. They'll say the same thing. They're like, oh, I don't want to just talk. I'm like, well, technically, it's like, if we got together at a work party, I mean, like, what else are we going to talk about?
That's
what
we're doing, yeah.
Yeah, that's what we're doing.
It's actually, we're recording this, it's 10 a.m.
Right.
That's the reason, well, I mean, we could be overachievers and have beers, but we're professionals.
I mean, listen, you can't drink all day if you don't start in the morning.
That's great.
You
know,
are we going to talk ourselves into drinking?
Yeah, let's not do this right now. We're going to do it after, okay? We don't need to stop the podcast to get up here. But probably how'd your season go? That's what I'm trying to get.
Season one actually super duper well.
Dude,
I mean,
that's not a response that we're used to hearing.
Dude, no. this was, I'm so glad you asked me this year compared to last year. Because
last year was a fucking rodeo, man.
This year, shot the biggest buck of my life this year.
Hey,
yeah. Hey, all of us.
Hey, we all did.
It was,
everybody
at the table.
Yeah, it was, I couldn't believe it. My wife was in the tree with me. She's never hunted before.
What?
Never hunted before. She, real quick, one morning, it's a Tuesday. And she was like, hey, we should go hunting together sometime. I'm like, babe, you don't like ticks. Like, you don't like the outside. Yeah. She's like, I don't want to go hunt. I just want to try it sometime. I'm like, I saddle hunt. You're going to have to sit in a saddle. You're going to have to climb a tree. You're going to have to do all this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
She's like, let's just do it. And I was like, okay, well, when do you want to try it? She's like, how about tonight? I'm like, all right. So I called up a babysitter. It was my grandmother. She's like, yeah, I'll do whatever. And I was like, well, dear, I have like a doe killing spot not too far from the house. Like, we'll walk in. It's a decent walk. It's PA. It's all uphill.
Yeah.
But I was like, it's easy. It's logging roads and stuff. And we'll get like 10 foot up a tree, 'cause she doesn't do heights either.
Yeah.
So I went in with a giant 20 foot steel ladder. So I didn't have to do individual sticks. Yeah, yeah. I'm 6'4". My wife is 5'3". So like climbing, you know, the step difference, you know.
Yeah.
So I bolted that. I mean, I sound like a freaking elephant china shop, you know, and I'm making all this noise. I put the thing up there. She gets 10 foot off the ground. She's like, I'm done. I can't go any higher. So I put the platform on. We sit together, put the camera arm over to her, and we're just having a good time. And
Not expecting to see a damn thing.
And yeah, we're sitting there, and all of a sudden I look down the ridge, and here comes 9 longbeards. And I'm like, she's never seen turkeys before in person like this. I was like, don't move. They'll freak out.
Yeah.
Real easy.
Yeah.
They came and fed around us. They're all like half puffing at each other. Oh, they ended up roosting right behind us. I mean, she got to witness really cool. We were watching for 15 minutes, and I looked down the ridge again, and I saw antlers, and he's huge. The video's on my channel, the Average Jack Archery channel, and I could see his right side, and I was like, holy shit, this deer's big.
Here we go.
And I'm in central Pennsylvania, so like, and he's every bit of a 130-inch deer, which in PA for an 8-point is massive.
Yeah, that's a big 8
on public land. And I saw him, I was like, babe, this is the biggest deer I've ever seen on the hoof. And she's like, I can't see him. And I was like, well, get the camera over there. She's like, I cannot see him. I was like, oh my gosh. And so he comes up, and then this, I'm trying to teach her. I'm like a $3,000 camera rig like that. And then this little basket comes with, and I'm all like, shoot, I'll shoot him too. I don't give a shit.
Yeah, yeah.
And they both, and they fought right in front of us. The big one makes this rub and like bends this tree in half. He makes scrape everything. Well, she had the camera pointed, but she couldn't tell that in the viewfinder, she got the whole thing on film. Got the whole thing on film. Had no freaking idea.
No kidding.
Yeah. And then he ended up working his way at 25 yards, and I absolutely laced him. And he ran down over the hill, and I was like, hey, this deer's big. I don't think you'll be able to move him. Plus, she's done the whole blood and guts thing anyway. So I called my neighbor, and I was like, hey, can you come help me move this deer?
Yeah.
And we showed up to this thing, and he was freaking enormous. I know in the Midwest, you guys get corn-fed stuff. These things live off laurel buds and acorns.
Right.
He was probably every bit of 250 pounds in the hoof.
That's a big deer.
I mean, just huge. I got over 100 pounds of meat off that deer, which I've never come close to that.
What was her reaction to it? Did she like realize how big a deer it was? When I
eventually got it home and I pull up in the truck and I pull it out, and I'm, you know, like I said, I'm 6'4", I'm a really decent dude, and I could put his antlers around me.
No kidding.
Yeah, without having to turn.
That's always
like a wide he was. Yeah,
we like that.
Eric Bucks and Steve Bucks.
Yeah.
And just he had mass all the way out, and he was just an enormous body.
Man, I think she needs to go hunt with you more often.
Well, so then cool.
now you're in trouble.
So then we went to Ohio 3 weeks later, and she's like, "I'll go out with you." And I was like, "All right, go, man." We're
like, "Good luck,
Mr. Wright." We sat out there and didn't see a damn thing. We froze our asses off and didn't see a damn thing. She's like, "This sucks."
So I'm
like, "This is what hunting is really like, dear."
Yeah.
You witness like 20 years of hunting experience in one single hunt.
But that's even worse, because she's gonna be like, "Well, we went out one time and you killed a buck." It's like, how come you can't do this every time?
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah. Well, why did you go hunt so much?
Yeah.
It was pretty easy.
It's easy.
I kept trying to read it. I was like, you have no idea what special event you just witnessed.
Yeah.
I was like, that is a person's biggest deer. That only comes like 2-3 times a person's lifetime.
Yeah, for sure.
And you got to witness that one day.
Did she kind of realize that?
I think eventually she kind of picked up on it. Because like I pulled out all the other racks of PA bucks I've shot that are in my basement, you know, in my shop. Yeah. And I'm like holding it up and I'm like, do you see the size?
Yeah.
Like the biggest I'd shot at that point is like a 110 in PA.
Yeah,
which that's a good deer in PA, but you hold it up against a 130 and you're like, oh,
yeah. Yeah, it's Lord. A different for sure.
Yeah.
It's a dude, big
that's
difference.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
Look at us. Just a bunch of
killers.
Biggest buck killing. Sons of guns.
Huntworth wearing.
Good looking. I don't know. That's awesome.
I don't know.
That's a good story.
It was good. Yeah, it was good. And then I didn't kill anything in Ohio, but I went out and had a successful time there. I did end up shooting the smallest buck I've ever shot in the state of Indiana.
Hey, me
too. It was highest and lowest. Yeah,
I shot my biggest, hit my smallest.
Yeah, he was an absolute dink, but I shot him at 47 yards, and I absolutely laced him. I dropped a bomb,
that
too.
Is a bomb.
It was
at Huntworth, he couldn't see you.
No, he couldn't. He had no freaking idea.
And he has
it was
a pro
there.
Shop.
Yeah. Well,
should be able to shoot.
As I came back to full draw on this thing, I'm like, I know he's every bit of 47 yards, and I'm like, if I don't nail this shot on camera, I'm going to get a lot of crap in the comments because, like,
what's the point of owning a shot if you can't shoot a bow, man? Yeah, man, my bow's out of tune. I couldn't help it. Like, you don't have that excuse.
Yeah, it's like it's like you don't have a press in your backyard, man. Come on, fix it. No, so it was just awesome. Everything was good. You know, it was just. Lots of good camaraderie, lots of good times, safe travels, good deer. It was just a fantastic season. So
awesome.
I could not complain whatsoever.
It's good to hear, dude. That's cool, man. I just wonder, someone who doesn't see deer and see deer die, like, did she really like take it in? That's a cool thing to like think about.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, it was. I mean, it's as someone who lives around hunting, but she doesn't hunt or experience the hunt. But it was cool, you know, so I have two daughters, a 6-year-old and 8-year-old, and the 8-year-old has no interest in hunting whatsoever. She's kind of a tree hugger. But the 6-year-old freaking loves this stuff, man. She thinks it's cool as shit. She's like, Daddy, I want to go turkey hunt with you, you know, and that kind of stuff. And so when I brought that giant deer home and I showed her, we watched the videos together and you know, the antlers are in the shop, you know, so she sees it. Daddy went out and got that thing.
Yeah.
She's starting to come to the dark side a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
She's wanting to shoot a bow. I mean, she's a peanut, but she wants to shoot a bow. She wants to
sort of
stuff.
What time?
So it's cool. You know, that I feel like this year kind of started that concreting for it.
Kind of kicked
cool.
it off.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. It's really cool.
All right, next question. I know you have your shop, and most of your taxidermy probably goes to the shop, I would assume. Maybe not. Do you have taxidermy in your house?
What?
Like deer taxidermy, shoulder mounts.
No, this is the biggest deer I've ever shot worth shoulder mounting.
So is it going in this the house or the shop?
Oh, he's going in the shop.
In the shop.
Yeah, so the way my shop is set up, it's a long, skinny rectangle. And so I have my bow racks, like where my Elite, my Matthews and stuff like that are. it faces the door. So I got him like a full sneak mode with his ears pinned back.
Oh, cool.
So like when you first open the door, he's going to be staring right down the barrel at you from 10 foot in the air. Right, his antlers right over top of you, just ready that's to cool. freaking that's roll. Awesome.
So every time someone walks in, you see my deer?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Well, it's, the coolest right part there. About having a shop with that is everybody walks in, they're like, you know, what bow should I shoot? What broadhead should I shoot? And I always say like, well, this deer was killed with this, and this deer was killed with this, and this deer was killed with this. And it helps people out a lot. You know, people often ask me, do I need this, this, and this? I'm like, well, all this deer was killed with this. And so it's really cool to actually have, even though I have a lot of just regular racks, you know, just skull caps there in the shop, even though it's not a big deer, it just gives concrete evidence to somebody that works. If that's something I had confidence in, you can have confidence in it too, which is neat from a retail perspective.
That's a good point.
For sure.
I was asking the taxidermy question because, you know, some guys' wives aren't always cool with like deer in the living room or it's got to be in the basement or whatever. So I was going to see like if how she was on that because she was with you. So you have to be able to
maybe change her mind. So now she wants all the deer in the living room now.
Yeah, but you don't really have that. The bottom.
No, you know I mean? I actually truthfully, I feel like the shop in particular being that archery space, it deserves to have the shoulder mounts.
Yeah.
You know,
it deserves
to have that. You know, most guys don't have that, right? So they have to have the man cave. They have to have something. Have to have something. But also I don't. I mean, I shoot Dink Central, man. I mean, all my, boop, you know, that's what we shoot.
You know, it's a different world, man. You know, like, I don't know much about PA. I've been to PA one time, was when we were there for Harrisburg.
Oh, yeah.
And
when you go out there and the fish are where you think they are, any one of these casts could be the bite. It's the most exciting fishing that I know right here at Hawk's Cave.
Oh, that's awesome.
Experience the best saltwater fishing the world has to offer. Don't miss Thursdays with Saltwater Experience, brought to you by Golden Boat Lifts, every Thursday night from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment. In Wild Country, rules were not created by man. Don't miss Wild Country, Wednesdays from 7 to 11 p.m. Eastern. Presented by Primos, speak the language. Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.
You know, I was surprised by the terrain when we were driving.
Yeah.
It was
more
hilly. Oh, I mean, you saw the flat part of Pennsylvania.
Yeah, well, coming in, we went through a hilly spot, and then it, I don't know if that's considered the hilly part. What I wish it'd be western Pennsylvania.
Yeah, the hilly spot's where I'm at north of 80, like on the like up in the actual mountains, like McKean Potter, like up up in that. That's where people have like deer camps. Like that's where Pennsylvania gun hunting tradition is. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. And my shop's right in the middle of the state, right by Penn State University. So actually a lot of people come up out of the south, drive on the major road that goes past my shop to go to deer camp.
Oh, cool.
So I get a bunch of transient guys like that week of Thanksgiving. Yeah, I'm headed up to deer camp this week. Want to get my bow checked out. Season's over. And I won't see those guys again until next Thanksgiving.
Right. Yeah.
But I see them like that. Right, and that happens. Cool. So, yeah, I mean,
location.
Yeah. Amen to that. Pennsylvania. Yeah. Pennsylvania's tough. We have a bunch of public, but it's
a lot of hunters in Pennsylvania.
But a lot of hunters, a lot of hunting pressure, and not a lot of food. And so,
big timber
out there. And the Game Commission stuff's getting better at, you know, helping to clear cut and get more natives and stuff growing in there. Mm-hmm. But even still, it's a long, slow process.
I feel this is might be a controversial statement, but I feel like Michigan and PA, from an outsider's perspective, have a lot of the similar hunting culture qualities and like buck quality.
Yeah.
Maybe that's, I hope that's not a, I don't care if it's a.
No, I mean, it's, no, it's fair.
What am I saying?
I don't give a shit. I don't come hunt your crappy state. Yes.
I'm not dissing.
You and your tiny-ass deer. I'm not giving a shit. Easy. I come from Illinois.
Yeah, I'm not dissing, but
we got 120s behind every tree out here.
Yeah, they're everywhere.
You guys
can keep
your 40-inch 6 points.
But I don't know. You know what I'm saying, though? I'm not hating, but it just, from an outside perspective, it seems it's just different. It's different than like the corn-fed Midwest. Mm-hmm.
I will say the one benefit we do have over Michigan is that we do have antler restrictions statewide. Antler restrictions. And so a lot of the counties in the western half of the state where you guys would have driven through are actually 4 on one side.
Oh, okay.
And in my part of the state, in a lot of the state, it's 3 on one side. So it actually has increased the overall age bracket. Now, the deer have gotten better. Like that 8-point would not have lived to the age he was if there wasn't antler restrictions. That deer was every bit of 4 or 5 years old.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
But because if you don't give that deer in Pennsylvania that first gun season to just figure out how to not die, he will die.
Right.
And so when he's a 4-point, when he's a spike, when he's a little half rack fiver or something like that, in years past, he's dead. Well, now he's got a gun season under his belt. Now he's got all of archery season, and he knows how to not die for another year.
That makes sense. And I never looked at it that way.
It has helped out tremendously antler restrictions, the quality of deer that we have in Pennsylvania. Are we seeing 150s? No, not all the time, but the quality of deer as an age bracket has just generally gotten better, and so we do see better quality deer.
I wouldn't mind that rule just being everywhere.
Yeah, but does it...
Let's what are you going to do if you see a world record six-pointer?
Isn't it?
You can't shoot it.
You can't shoot it. Isn't it? It's got to be four up?
It's three up, so excluding the brown time.
Oh, okay.
So part of the state is... So like here, you know, here it excludes the brown time. So three up, or in my part of the state, it's just got to be 3 points.
Including the brown time.
So that includes any point. Yeah,
that they consider maybe that three up? So what if this, instead of a two, there was a drop? Could you shoot it?
That's an interesting question. We don't see a whole lot of non-typical deer in PA.
Because I've always heard it's got to be three up,
one down. So if they have one down, you're screwed?
But what if, instead of a G3, there's a drop like that?
Or what if he has two in the split?
I'll shoot it and we'll figure it out later.
Yeah.
No, you can't say that.
Why? You know, most people would probably, but, you know, antler restrictions, I'm for it. I mean,
yeah,
I don't really have a reason to be against it.
That's the thing. Like when I talk to people who don't live in a state where they have 8 bazillion hunters and there's not quality deer food and deer, they're just like, yeah, whatever. I could take it or leave it. I'm like, well, because you don't live, no offense, you don't live in a place where you really need it.
No,
because the number of hunters in particular is a huge thing. People don't understand that. Like, they're like, oh, Iowa, Illinois, Kansas, you know, northern Missouri. I'm like, the freaking number of people just aren't there. You just don't have. We have more archery hunters in Pennsylvania than Iowa has total deer hunters.
That's crazy.
That is, if you think about that, think about the number of dudes walking around with bows and crossbows in Pennsylvania is bigger than the entire hunting population of Iowa. Crazy. That's insane. How does anybody, how does a deer even make it?
Yeah,
you know right. I mean? How do you guys have any deer left?
Yeah, it's really... It's really an interesting dichotomy.
PA fell out of our top five. PA's in our top 10 listener states, but Michigan is our number 2 listener state currently.
Yeah, which makes total sense.
But PA was always they're in the top 10. I think they might be 6th. You guys might be 6th.
PA has always been huge for us.
There's so many hunters there.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, and the Harrisburg show is our most requested show to go back to, but it's so far for us.
And yeah, it's a poke.
And it's 9 days.
You know, I'm not
9 days.
We always get like, I don't know, not shade really, but guys like, you should really hunt PA so you like know what it's like. I'm not saying I never would, but also like right now we don't need to.
No.
You know what I mean? But,
no.
But I would do it one day to just like see what it was like. It'd be cool to go to the hills, maybe. But in my head,
I got way too much other stuff I want to do first before I go to PA.
Yeah, but like what I'm saying is like if we went, you know, like we can't
kind of fun.
We can't go there and hunt it like we're gonna, especially with the standard that we're hunting in Illinois and Iowa,
right.
Wisconsin and Missouri. Like, you know, like you said, it's like 130 is a mega.
Oh yeah, if you shoot a 130-inch deer in PA, you take that into the center of town at the local gas station and you open up that tailgate and you just wait.
There's a crowd.
And people just start coming because they're
What's over there? What's that?
You'll take a picture on Facebook and be like, "Hey, I'm sitting down at the 7-Eleven at the corner of Washington and 4th." And people are like, "Oh shit, I'm going to go see Terry's deer."
Yeah.
Honey, I'll be back. Keep dinner warm and he'll go down just to bullshit.
Drink Keystone Ice in the parking lot.
They're tailgating in the parking lot of the gas station.
Like the ice.
Keystone Ice. You got to have the ice. You
Daddy, daddy.
No, Keystone Light. Yeah.
You ever drink any beer with the word ice in it? It's fucking awful. So that wasn't a diss on PA.
Oh, that's good.
You laughed.
That's good. No, you said that and I was like, oh man, I'm right there. I'm right there.
That's me.
Someone shows up with Bush Heavy and it's all over.
Oh, yeah.
It's just.
I always
just
feel bad. Like,
kick him out of
PA and be like, what'd you see tonight? It's like, oh, I passed up a 120 and they're just like, what? Like, why would you do that?
What are you doing?
You know, I love it. I love talking about like the differences because. I mean, I know how good we have it from a quality standpoint in Iowa and Illinois. I also know that you don't just go sit one season and never hunt it there. I mean, some people go and kill like a 150, but they're not like plentiful like
around every tree.
Somebody that from Central PA might think or Central wherever, they're around. The chance of killing one is better than it was is in those states, you know? So I think it'd be cool to like go and like adjust. I don't know, to me, I think it'd be more fun because I feel like I'd be way less picky.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, but like throw us in one of them big timbers, I'd be like, I don't even know what the hell to do.
Yeah, a good blend for, I tell this to a lot of the guys in the Midwest that are like, you know, I'd really have noticed. PA is PA is difficult to travel. You think about it, it's like 5 hours edge to edge because it's so damn long. So like, it's not fun to travel to PA. And then when you get there, you're like, why'd I drive like 12 hours to go shoot a 90-inch deer? Doesn't sound fun to me. So I tell people, if you really have an interest, is actually going to like Eastern Ohio. Like that's actually, because it's got flat, it's not as nearly as mountainous, but it still will kick your ass. Like it's got a good mixture of both.
Our resident PA people are Rachel and Andy, which, did Rachel and Andy get hooked up with Huntworth, I believe?
I think so. I think I've talked to Andy at least once. I think so.
I think Rachel was talking with Karen, because it was either you or Karen reached out and said, hey, what's your guys' relation to Rachel and Andy? I'm like,
I think I did, yeah.
Friends. It's like awesome people, and they're killers. And so they're like what I consider is like PA big buck killers. They're up there.
Oh, they're whacking some big deer.
I believe they're Western PA.
Yeah,
they're close to Ohio, I think.
They're in the better dirt, yeah, by far.
They got the good dirt.
They got the good dirt out there.
Yeah, they got that white privilege hunting ground. I don't know. Is that offensive? Judges? Judges? No? Good? We're good. Okay.
We're good.
Judges say we're good. Okay. Young boy approves. Okay. We're good. Yeah. Okay. We got judges in here. But no, it's I think it's fun to talk about. And, you know, especially we should talk about it more probably. Mm-hmm. We probably should have more PA and Michigan people on the podcast
for sure,
you know, to cater to that strong listener group, but
that 130s group,
the 130 max group.
No, I love it though.
That could be the title of the episode, 130 max.
Yeah, 130 max, dude. So is that considered a mountain buck? Would you consider that a mountain buck
where I was at?
Yeah.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah,
100%. I would say probably the closest ag to that deer is 5 miles.
Oh, no kidding.
Minimum. Wow. And when I say ag, I'm talking a hayfield.
Oh.
Like, yeah. I'm not talking corn, there's soybean. No grains. There's nothing. And if there is, we're talking less than 10 acres cumulative. I mean, these deer are literally living off the salt of the earth. And
that makes it cooler, man.
Just tree bark and leaves.
You got a picture of that deer on you? You got your phone on you?
Yeah, somewhere.
Let's see that, baby. Yeah. Dude, it's been a good season for a lot of guys. It's kind of been back and forth. I hear some people like, I just didn't see the deer I wanted to hunt or whatever. But then, like, you killed your biggest buck first.
A lot of people I talked to this year has had a really good season.
Well, there's a lot of
really
people
good and really ones,
like frustrating,
messed up.
Yeah,
I feel like my season could have been. I almost could have catered to. I'm having a rough season, like especially at first, like starting with my elk mishap and then that buck early season. I was like, what is wrong with me? Right. Like, I'm slipping, bro.
Yeah,
and you almost just like hustle out. You can hustle yourself out of bad luck.
Oh yeah, but most people take your situation and just not go anymore.
Like, yeah, sure. I almost did, bro. I was talking to the OGs. I'm like, I'm quitting. I'm done.
I'm done bow hunting.
I'm a sad boy.
Quitting the podcast.
I'm quitting the podcast.
Yeah, Nate's got to scroll through all his nudes.
I was just gonna say, I got to get through all my dick pics there.
Yeah, dude, that's awesome.
Yeah, so it's like the thing is you look at him and you're like, oh, he looks decent. But then you get like, what people don't understand is like a lot of people look at that and they don't understand that I'm like 6'4", 220 pounds.
That is true.
You gotta pack and then, that in. And then you look look at the whole body of the deer and you're like, oh shit, they're the same size person.
Yeah. That's a good point.
And
man,
for PA to have a deer. So when I don't know how to cape a thing out. I've never had anything big enough worth getting mounted. I mean, you just look at the body on him compared to me.
He's huge. Tanker.
That's a Midwestern deer, man.
That's a Midwestern deer in the middle of the mountains of nowhereville in Pennsylvania.
He got lost.
Yeah, he did. I mean, seriously, like, you know, and I don't, you know, my doe killing spots and stuff like that, I don't run cameras.
That is a big body.
So I'd never expect to see something like that in that area.
I want to now.
I want to now. But when I took him to the processor to get him caped out, because I have no idea what I'm doing. I've never had to before.
Yeah.
And so I just had him process him the rest of the way. And he said, hanging, you know, completely, you know, hanged for aging and everything, he was the biggest deer they'd seen in there in 33 years. The biggest Pennsylvania deer they've seen in there in 33 years. And he's like, Nate, I've been doing this my entire life. This thing was a cow. And I'd call, because I had to drop it off at night. They were already closed. So, you know, I have like a walk-in cooler. And I said, Jason, this thing's huge. And he goes, okay, yeah, I'm sure it's huge.
Yeah, nice.
And then he calls me the next morning while I'm working. And he goes, what the fuck is this thing? He's like, I opened up the cooler and it blocked the doorway. of this giant walking.
He's like what state did you kill this?
What is this thing? I said, I shot that up on the mountain. He's like, the fuck you did. He's like, there's no way. And I said, I'll drop you an on-X pen. And I said, he's like, oh yeah, you really did shoot it up there, didn't you?
Shit. So it's the gut pile.
How old do you think that deer was?
Every bit of four at least.
Yeah, I'd say maybe more with
that body.
Especially like mountain bucks, you know, I know Midwestern deer, but like big body like
to
that.
To put on that much weight and to hold it. I mean, he's had to have had it for a while. So he's, like I said, he's at least four, if not five. I didn't
five
pull the teeth.
Older, man. Yeah. I mean, the way you're talking about his body and the terrain he lived in, I would just for the sake of it, he's five. You know, who's going to argue with you?
Right.
That's always impressive.
He probably was, really.
Yeah.
You know? Biggest body deer in 33 years.
Yeah.
That's a statement.
He's like, we like to keep track of that because they do a lot of work with our game commission to see the health of the herd because where we're located, you know, in our deer density. They're kind of the litmus test. You know, they always, you know, they'll fly the drones over and do the thermal imaging and stuff.
Right,
but we really got to watch our deer per square mile because our doe is not just free range. You have to sign it for a particular management unit to shoot does out of that. And it's a first come, first serve. So if the tag gets filled or not, the game commission uses him a lot as a litmus test, like how many deer are really getting killed in a particular area.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so he really keeps track of all that data. Generally, they'll just kind of ballpark off the tooth and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So he's like, yeah, we weigh every deer that comes through here. And he's like, I could not believe it. He's like, I pulled up the computer, punched in the Excel sheet, and could not find a number bigger than your
that's
number.
Cool.
That's awesome.
That is awesome.
That makes it even cooler.
Yeah.
Dude, yeah, you need to like print something out next to the mount for your shop that like.
You need a full body mount that thing.
Yeah. I was sitting there thinking, like, do I have like $6,000? You know? I don't know what I do. But he was, man. And because I had called the taxidermist, I was like, I got a big deer. And he's like, yeah, okay.
Okay.
I've heard that.
I've been doing taxidermy for 40 years in Pennsylvania. And I pulled up and he filled his entire cape and his skull and everything, filled a standard igloo cooler. Coleman cooler.
Yeah.
Like a normal, whatever that is, 20 quart cooler or something like that. And his antlers are spilling out of the side. And I just dropped it on his counter. And he goes, oh, yeah, you did shoot a big deer. This is a big freaking deer.
That's awesome, man.
We actually had to get a mold for it that was a Midwestern neck.
Oh, like I believe that.
The neck. He's like, this. I don't do that very often.
That's cool. So that makes it cooler, man. You killed a fully mature buck that was just a hog.
A giant. Oh, yeah.
You know?
By complete accident.
Just a mountain beast.
I love that's the best part, though. Like, you go in to kill a doe, and you're already down on your luck.
Who would have thought it carrying in a metal ladder and making all kinds of noise?
My wife's walking through the leaves like a 400-pound woman carrying Walmart bags. It's just, you know.
It's like a little.
It's like everyone's trying to be the quietest possible. And
sometimes, though, like, I notice the quietest I am, or the quieter I am, the worse the hunting is. Like, if I make a bunch of noise by accident, the better the hunt is. Mm. I don't know.
Always people make these cool videos, you know, like, I have 6 years of history with this buck, and for me, it's just 5 minutes, you know.
Yeah, I saw him 5 minutes
ago. You know. The video is pretty short. Dude, pretty short documentary.
I love it. Congrats on an awesome season.
Yeah. Thanks, man. Congrats,
I appreciate you being such a good partner to us and being cool to work with.
Yeah.
It helps having, like, a good, like, beyond a business relationship where we can be like, hey, what the fuck are you doing right now? And it's like, it's nice. So thank you for that.
No, thank you guys, man. So. It's a super pleasure working with you guys. It really, really is. It made my job 10 times easier when I came on board. It really did. Really, really did.
I know.
I'm glad we can make it easy.
Listeners get it, but like, you know, you guys sponsor the show, but I'd look at it as a partnership, not just like you bought ad space, because if it didn't work or we weren't happy with it, we wouldn't wear it and talk about it the way we talk about it.
Sure.
Legitimately wear it. We use
everywhere.
It. We're proud of it. We rock it. And it's the shit, dude. You can buy top tier hunting clothing for not a lot of money at damn near any farm store in the Midwest right now.
Yeah. Yep. You guys in particular live that in the retail space.
Yeah.
And and like I said, when I came on board and I was like, oh shit, Word Class Bow Hunter.
Rowdy boys.
I know exactly who these, like, I knew who you guys were. I was like, they're big potatoes, man.
No,
you know?
Easy.
No. Remember talking about me, and so I came on. I came on board, and Karen's like, "No, they're pretty cool dudes." And I remember texting you, I think, first time,
and you were like,
"Yeah, man, let's just talk about stuff." And
and
it is so. Yeah, no, you guys do great work here. We're super happy to be part of the team and be part of it. And you're right, it's a two way street.
Yeah,
and we really do appreciate.
It's got to be that way, man. Because if it's not, one, it sucks for everybody.
Oh, for everybody,
it sucks for the listener because we've all seen. And watch them early 2000s hunting shows where it's like, this episode's brought to you by Huntworth. And then it's like,
that's it.
lay your full credits. Line of clothes in front of the deer. And, you know, there's a time and a place for all of that stuff. But
I mean,
it's not genuine.
If it sucked, we would fucking use it.
Right.
Because
yeah. Exactly, yeah.
Like, we just wouldn't. We wouldn't take it to Africa and coos deer hunting in Mexico and bear hunting and all the shit we do.
Yeah. And so, if it sucked, you could tell us about it, and it's a very good chance
that
something would get fixed.
So big, and that kind of goes back to the beginning. We're talking about, like, Karen's hustle.
Yeah.
Karen kind of like, Curtis, you need to tell me. If something needs changed, I need to know about it.
Yeah.
Like, all right.
She calls you Curtis, which makes me just laugh like on the
motherly.
Inside. Yes, because it's like, yeah, Kurt, you know. And it's yeah. Like, no, Curtis. And I was like, Curtis. Okay, Curtis.
My name is Curtis, but it's like, as an adult, I just go by Kurt. But yeah,
but she is. She's the Huntworth mom.
She is.
She takes care of all of us. We're just her kids.
I didn't have base layers. I did. And then I wanted to try the new. I didn't have the new base layers.
Yeah.
And she's like, I'm like, hey, can I get a set? She goes, you haven't had them the whole time? I'm like, no, it was just now getting cold. Like, why the fuck did you tell me you didn't have them? I thought you had them.
You.
Yeah, I'm like,
yeah. Well,
I just feel bad asking for stuff.
She called me and goes, did Kurt tell you? I was like, I had no idea. Why didn't you ask him? And I was like, I don't know.
I'm like causing a stir up at Huntworth HQ. I'm like, my bad. It's like, I told him, like, I feel bad like asking for like another jacket to, like, you ask for anything you need, we'll get it to you. You got to have the stuff. And I'm like, all
just,
right.
Like, tear the whole company apart. Curtis needs his stuff.
Yeah. So she's just awesome.
The mom.
You know? Yeah. It's like, I don't know. I just don't, you know, when we get a partner or, you know, whatever, they get us what we need and we rock it and use the shit out of it. And then
just
I don't want to be like,
asking for more.
Can I get more?
Yeah.
Right. You know, that feels weird, but yeah, we don't have to feel that way with Karen, even though we always will.
We always
will.
Oh,
yeah. I still do. I work in the building.
Can I take this?
I don't be like, hey, can I borrow this shirt for a picture? Yeah, just take it. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You
know, what are you doing? I'll bring it back.
No, like, I bring it back. Yeah. It's like, no, we don't want your armpit stains back. Yeah. Just keep it.
So I'll tell you this,
stop
too.
Asking.
So I never used to wear, this last quick story about Karen, I never used to wear my hunting clothes out and about. Like, so I would never, like, wear the heat boots vest and go
to dinner
or go get a beer, even to the studio. Like, my hunting clothes have always been my sacred hunting clothes.
Mm-hmm.
And one, because I didn't want to have to, like, buy more, because the other, you know what I mean? It's expensive, especially when I was younger. I didn't want to wear out my camo and all that. And I did a Zoom call with Karen, and I didn't have any, I had a different jacket on. And she's like, why don't you wear your stuff like casual? I'm like, well, I don't want to, like, wear it. And I'm thinking, I'm like, I could just ask you for another one. So now I just wear it all the time, like out on the tractor, everything. And so I was like, well, I'm wearing my Huntworth stuff casually now.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know why. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. I do. I'm the same way.
Like, I
won't
wear wearing my hunting clothes out. But
yeah,
I'm like,
you feel guilty almost.
Like, yeah, I'll just try and wear this stuff out. You know, Karen won't be mad if I'm like, hey.
Yeah. I went to shovel snow the other day and I was just wearing an old winter jacket. My wife's like, why aren't you wearing a heat boost? And I was like, oh, you're right. I should wear that.
I should.
It's 10 times better.
Yeah.
And I threw that thing on. Yeah.
You feel guilty because you don't want to tear it up.
Yeah.
Because I'm out there freezing my ass off.
Well, yeah, but then I wasn't, you know.
Yeah. It's like a, I don't know, it's like a hunter thing. Plus, you like the whole scent thing.
Oh, yeah.
But now it's like, I have a everyday Huntworth jacket and a vest.
I feel bad when I'm out there just ripping my 2-stroke snowblower, you know, with a camo jacket on.
Like, yeah, nice Huntworth jacket.
Yeah, I'm like, now I'm going to go wash it. And
yeah, but we don't need to feel that way. But, dude, thank you so much.
No, thank you.
Congrats on the deer, too.
Yeah, congrats.
I'm glad we tapped into that.
Yeah, that was killer season. That was cool.
We need to get you out. We're trying to lock down, like, a WCB lease, and it's, like, impossible to find a lease now.
No, I can only imagine.
But I want to have, like, a spot that's just, even if it's a little piece, where, like, our partners can come in for a few days and hunt.
Yeah,
like, get a Midwestern experience, you know? So, hopefully we can get that going. You come out and hang out, stay at the studio, and get 100%. You in the studio and all that. So
yeah,
get you a nice 130.
Sure, yeah, yeah, yeah. 130 max.
130 max.
It's 130
like
max.
You know, about Midwest. It's
hey,
like what,
3 points.
What's it? Yeah, 3 points on the side. Yeah. 130 max. Yeah.
We set you on a what do they call it? A trophy fee. There's a trophy.
Oh,
trophy.
Yeah. If it's over 3 points,
it's over 3 points.
For
it's
every
over
inch
130.
Over 130, it's $100.
Every like, inch.
Told you not to shoot this one.
Yeah,
she's like a 220.
Oh. Huntworth's going to be a sponsor for a while. Well, cool, dude. Well, thank you.
Thank you, good.
Oh, yo, plug your YouTube and all that stuff, and I'll put the video to your hunt.
Yeah, so check out Average Jack Archery on YouTube. If you live in the northeastern part of the country, actually, we ship stuff all over the country, so you want to check out Average Jack Archery Pro Shopping Range in Phillipsburg, PA. We deal in a bunch. We deal in Elite Bows. They're a big seller for us, doing a whole bunch of other different brands. So yeah, if people want to check us out, they're welcome to come down to the shop personally, reach out. We can ship them stuff, or just check out the YouTube channel.
Cool.
Awesome.
If you need any Huntworth questions answered, just
bunch of Huntworth questions answered. Absolutely. You can always reach out averagejackarcher@gmail.com. Hit me up.
Awesome.
Cool.
Boys got anything?
Nope.
No.
Cool. You know what to
Thanks
do.
For coming on.
Go shoot your bow. See you next week.
Join Captain Justin Leake and Meredith McCord for the best fishing action along Panama City Beach. Tune in to Chasing the Sun every Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV.